Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 35. In his message titled, That Faraway Place, Reverend David Williams tells us that our reality is so small compared to God's vast and endless creation. But how far away is heaven? Where is God? We do not know exactly where heaven is, but it can be seen when we provide grace to others. As for God, Jesus came to earth to confirm that God is always with us. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's word.
Please be seated. We live life on a very particular scale. Our days tend to be very much the same, and very much we do what we do. We encounter the same reality day by day, the inside of our cars, the sounding of our radios, our offices, our workplaces, our classrooms, our cubicles, and it's all a thing we can grasp and understand. So much of our life is like that, structured for us. And then there are those moments where it's a clear night and you look up and the sky is vast and dark and deep. Or you're out in the woods and you hear the stillness and you wonder at your place in it all. It's very easy for us to hide from the immensity of what God does, because it's a more comfortable place. And in those moments, we encounter the vastness of what God has done. We wrestle with that. It can break us and leave us feeling impossibly small. Let's now admit that in those moments we can struggle to see our place in things. Let's do that by together praying the prayer of confession, which is printed in our bulletins. Please join with me in the praying of it. Gracious and almighty God, we sing to you, we pray to you. But for all of that, we freely admit we often have a whole bunch of trouble wrapping our heads around you. We look out into the vastness, out into the great deep of our time and space, and we feel lost. Where are you in all of this? Sometimes it feels like you're close, right there with us. But other times, the great yawning chasm between us can be terrifying. We struggle to find our feet and to find a place our souls can rest. Help us know our purpose in all of this, Lord. Help us find our way. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from Matthew's gospel. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 13. Verse 24 through Matthew 13, verse 35. That's Matthew 13:24 through 35. You can follow along on page 14 of your pew New Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where, then, did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all of these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our Father, it begins, and who art in heaven, it continues. Or that's the way that little bit, that little unit of the prayer that Jesus taught us goes. And for a long time, and still occasionally even now, that is a hard one for my head to wrap itself around. Heaven. Even when I was a kid, I wrestled with that idea because heaven was just such a difficult concept. And yeah, we've got the mental image of it from 1,000 cartoons of St. Peter with his book at the gate and then their clouds and their harps and everyone you know or everyone you like happily sporting a pair of Pegasus wings. And you get through those gates, which are pearly, and there are the dark chocolate fountains and shining palaces filled with sleeping golden retriever puppies. It's a familiar image, but it never resonated with me, that popular picture, even when I was young. Because in the sweetness of it, and it was beautiful to see, there was this little problem that I couldn't get around of where. Where is this? Where is this place? And the ancients did think they knew. They were sure they knew. Where is heaven, you would ask. And then, like, you know, that scene in Close Encounters where you're in India and they're all going, that thing. And then they ask, well, where did the sound come from? And they all go, like that. Remember that? Anyone remember that? Great movie. If you haven't seen the scene, see it. It was up. It was the sky. Heaven, if you'd asked in ancient Hebrew, was behind the raki, the firmament, the dome of the sky behind which the waters of chaos were restrained. And they meant it was a solid dome behind which chaos rested, and then beyond that heaven, a solid dome in which were drilled holes through which the lights of chaos shone, and those were, you know, stars. And there were these tracks in the dome along which the planets would chug along like, you know, little toy trains across the sky. This is not how we look at the sky now. We look up and out. Across time and space, we look past the blue of our sky into the dark of our night sky, and we see vastness. what we see is that there's everything falling further and further away, going deeper and deeper with every discovery. Like the discovery that the stars are suns, which Vince knew, but there was a time that really freaked people out. Because we just figured out that the sun was huge and far away, and then we realize these other things are just as huge and so much farther than we could imagine. And even 100 years ago, in 1915, which, you know, almost doesn't seem like that long ago, there was a big argument in astronomy, and astronomers had discovered the scope and totality of the universe at that point, which was the universe was a flattened disk of stars that slowly rotated, and it was filled with billions of stars. Beyond it, there was emptiness. But there were these weird little objects in the universe that people were trying to identify. They called them spiral nebula. And so there were arguments at the American Astronomical Society back in 1915 about what these nebula are. The assumption was these were stars forming. But there was a minority group that said, those aren't stars. Those are galaxies. And what we think is our universe is just one galaxy among many. And the American Astronomical Union took a vote, and the universe is just our galaxy group won at that point. People just didn't want to realize how much deeper it went. And now we know there are other galaxies, and science begins to say that it's not just that. It's not just that everything banged out bigly 13.9 billion years ago, but that before that, outside of that, and interwoven with that, there might be realities that are even more deep and complex, an infinity of infinities. How do we see ourselves in that? And more importantly, if we're sitting here today, where's God in all of that? If we can look out so far, so deep and so far back in time. When I was a science-loving boy of 9 or 10, I remember a friend asking me, well, where is heaven? Where is God? And I was, maybe on the other side of the Big Bang, somewhere, you know. And the challenge with what we can see as we look out, is that it is both so huge, dizzyingly, immensely huge and deep, with scales of space and time that are so much greater than us, that but that when we look out, where do we see the Creator in all of this? Where is heaven in which God resides? And there are books that answer this question, of course. Ones that rise out of a genre that is often semi-mockingly called heaven tourism. And they're riffs on similar themes, people having those near-death experience, tunnels of light, visits from angels, Jesus himself, the faces of the lost and the beloved. And despite the recent strangely sad apology of the author of the book, The Boy Who Went to Heaven But Didn't, just sort of wanted you to think he hadn't sell a lot of books, I don't doubt that many of the people who write those books have experienced something that they feel they have to share. But I don't read those books or watch those movies because I don't think we really know well enough to describe it, what that will be like, not in the depth of it. Even if you'd had a momentary experience that dip you into that chasm of eternity, I don't think that's enough to meaningfully articulate what that experience is like. So you get this little glimpse filtered through who you are. It's not enough. And then I wonder, well, when Jesus talked about this heaven thing, and he's asking us to make this prayer, to say this prayer, when he talks about heaven, what does he have to say? We're supposed to play, supposed to be with Father in heaven. You want to tell us a little bit more? Come on, a little more detail, please. Thank you. When he gets into it, when he talks about what heaven means, it's not what we want. We want specific coordinates. We want latitudes. We want longitudes. We want where it is on the solar ecliptic so we can find it in space. We want detailed descriptions. We want maps. We want schematics. We want a couple of selfies with you, Robin Williams, and Mother Teresa. We're looking for those things. But Jesus doesn't give us that. Instead, he talks almost entirely about the kingdom of heaven, the reign of God, which is something both similar and very importantly different. He gives us these willful bits of narrative imprecision, one after another, describing the place where God reigns. We don't hear heaven is. We hear the kingdom of heaven is like. It is metaphor and story. It is image after image of growth and harvest, of goodness and brokenness, of what is valuable and how we choose towards that. Again and again, those images, the kingdom of heaven, what is it? It is like someone who sowed good seed in a field. It is like a mustard seed. It is like yeast. It is, if we move on past what we heard, a treasure hidden in a field. It is like a merchant in search of pearls. It is a net cast into the sea. And that's just in this chapter of Matthew's gospel. Did love his stories, he really did. Every one of those images talks about the dynamic of that reality, but it also blurs boundaries between heaven as this distant place and earth, between heaven where God hangs out conveniently distant and here where God's presence is a little less obvious most of the time. This teaching about the kingdom of heaven is the heart of what Jesus taught. Read through the Gospels and he talks about that and who he was in that reality. That's what he does. But it's also something else that flies in the face of our usual understanding of heaven. It's our tendency to cast it out as this realm that is so conveniently far away. We pray, our Father who is nowhere near us. We pray, our Father who art not part of this crazy mess down here. We pray, our Father, you're so far away, I know I can get away with this. I know my kids pray that all the time. That is understandable, but it also misses the thrust of the gospel. Because though the fullness of God's reality, all of it, heaven itself, is as dizzyingly different from our reality as this vast universe and impossibly vast potential multiverses might be, it is as distant from us as that. The intent of Christian faith is not to clearly set boundaries between one realm and another. Jesus came to be present, to affirm God's presence with us, and to assert that though there are realities beyond the one we experience right now, beyond what we can perceive and possibly beyond what we have the capacity to perceive, we are connected to that reality. It's an important way for us to pray because it does two things. It connects us with that depth. I usually pray the Lord's Prayer when I wake up or as I'm at that cusp of waking. But I'll often say it out quietly to myself when I walk in the morning darkness with my dog who has to walk in the morning darkness. And when the mornings are clear and the moon is that sharp crescent right before setting, but you can still see the rest of it, and see what it is. This little planetoid that blobbed out from us. And there it is. It's the reality of what it is in creation is there. I peer up into the same sky that was the dazzling heaven of our ancestors and see it differently, but still marvel at it as fully as they did. God is at work in that mind-boggling depth. But God is also at work in that heaven that is immediate and present in every place of my choosing to live as if God is right there, and as if what Jesus taught about how we live, about how we love, about how we care for others isn't just nice, though it is, but it's also a manifestation of God's reign and that perfect place in the relationship where you choose grace, in the relationship where you choose to care and to bless others with your acting on how God wants us to live, both intimate and present and mind-bogglingly deep. When we pray, "Who art in heaven," remember that that may be a distant place deeper than the human mind can imagine. But it is also and at the same time not different than that place and that moment in which you dwell. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It is hard to wrap our heads around the idea of a place that is not place. It's hard for us to embrace the concept of a time that is outside of time. These things we might talk about in college dorms late at night and our heads float around and we're like, what are we even talking about? Makes sense at the time. The reality of life, though, is that this distant thing is not so far away. If you think about a time that is not in this moment, where could such a thing be found? It is the next moment, the one yet unrealized, and the next moment after that. Each of us are called to listen for that potential of heaven, that kingdom that Jesus described, not just as a place where we trust we will rest when our lives are done, though we trust that. It is also that place that is not yet for us. That moment of deciding that we will make our choices and our decisions based on the deep compassion we know is the heart of our Creator. This heaven we yearn for is both so far away but also as close as your next heartbeat, as close as your next breath. As you go out into the day-to-day of your life, seek that kingdom in the choices you are making, because God does reside there. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us this day and our whole lives long. Amen.